this morning. It's a very simple question. It's this. What do you think about giving? What do you think about giving? You know, what do you think about when you go to a church and you see the church bringing out the offering plates and they get ready to pass them and you know they want you to put money in that offering? What do you think about that? You know, as you walk around America or as you hear people talk, you kind of get some different thoughts on what giving is all about. Some people hate the idea of it. You know, they say all churches ever think about, all pastors ever think about is money. All they want to do is get me in the door so they can get me seated, so they can get that offering plate, so they can pass that and take my money. That's all they ever think about. Some people think that way, and sometimes for right reasons. Because some churches and some groups, that's all you ever do hear them talk about is money and giving and, you know, taking what's in my wallet. Some people think that giving is a pretty good thing. Some people just can't wait for the opportunity to give. They hear about the problems down in Haiti. They hear about the problems in Chile. They hear about the needs in local churches, and they just can't wait to stick their hand in and get some money out. And then you got people that are kind of everywhere in between when it comes to this issue of giving. Now, if you come to our church on a regular basis, you know that I don't talk about giving that much. In fact, I probably talk about it so little I'm not doing the right thing. Because Jesus spoke more about giving than he did heaven and hell. And if you look at the Bible, the apostles wrote an awful lot about giving. And if you go back to the Old Testament, we see that the Israelites, as much as their hearts were messed up, we see plenty of times where they just gave beyond their own ability. When we get to the end of this book, we get to the thank you part. Paul, at the end of his books, he kind of writes a bunch of things to say thank you. But at the end of this letter, Paul writes and he says, I want you to know something. I talked about this a couple weeks ago. He said, I am content. No matter what comes my way, I'm ready. I'm good enough for it. I'm ready to meet it because of Jesus Christ. He's given me the strength. Well, the problem is that the Philippians had sent money to Paul to help him in his ministry. And I'm sure Paul's probably thinking, you know, I just told them I'm content. Maybe they might think that I really didn't need their gift. Or maybe they might think I really would rather they hadn't sent it. So Paul gets to the end of his letter and he talks about the fact that the Philippians had sent money for ministry to get the gospel out, and he just wants to stop for a minute, thank him for them, that letter, and let him know how he feels about it. And in this, we learn a few things about giving. Now, I want to give you three things this morning. Here's the first one. No matter what you think about giving to the local church, no matter what you think when you see offerings passed, I want you to know this, giving is good. Giving is good. Follow with me in Philippians chapter 4, beginning in verse 14. Notice what Paul writes. He says, yet it was good of you to share in my troubles. It was good of you to share in my troubles. Notice that little word, yet. He says, I'm content. I'm ready for everything that comes my way, whether I have a lot or I have a little. I'm ready. Christ has given me the strength I need, but yet I want you to know the fact that you took money out of your pockets and you sent them to me that I might preach the gospel. He says, I want you to know that was a good thing. The word good here, depending on the translation you have, some translations translate it well. It was well of you to have shared in my troubles. The word literally means this. And Paul's saying it this way. We can translate it like this. Paul's saying, you did a beautiful thing. When you gave me money, when you helped in my ministry, when you helped me as I was going through troubles, when you shared in preaching the gospel through your giving, Paul's saying, I want you to know it was a beautiful thing. Giving so that ministry may continue, giving so that ministry may go on, giving so the gospel may go out, so that people might hear that Jesus died, that he was buried, that he rose again, and that he did it for my sin and your sin, so that when we place our faith in what Jesus did on the cross, God can become our Savior. Paul says, when you give towards that ministry, I want you to know it is a good thing. In fact, it's beautiful. Now, I want you to know every church is a little different. Every ministry is a little different. We don't all do it the same. Some ministries talk more about money. Some ministries talk less about money. But I want you to know the reason to give to a local church, the reason to give to a ministry, is so that the ministry of Jesus Christ, the gospel of Jesus Christ, may continue and it may go out. And that's why we give. We don't give so the preacher can get rich. If you're given to that and you see the preacher's getting rich, stop giving to that ministry. It's not why we give. Now, it doesn't mean that a pastor or the head of a ministry ought to live with rags. It doesn't mean they can't have a new car. It doesn't mean that they can't have, you know, even a fishing boat. Like this church gave me this past fall, and I just can't wait to get in it. I am really waiting for spring. But I want you to know that this ministry, this church, could never do the things that we're doing if it weren't for people giving to this ministry. You know, we don't do other things. We don't have raffles. We don't have bake sales. We don't make cookies to raise money. We only raise money to meet the ministry of this church in one way. We pass offering plates. And if you look through all the Word of God, you'll see that when God's had a need for ministry, he'd go to God's people and he would do one thing. He'd say, give. Give. Here's the ministry. Here's the need. Give towards that ministry. Give towards that need. And Paul says, look, when you do that, it's a very beautiful thing. It is a good thing. You don't have to fight with your hand and fight with your wallet and kind of, oh, it's being passed. Uh-oh, I got to give money. It's not about that. It's about a heart's desire that wants to see people saved, come to Jesus Christ for salvation, wants to see Christians growing, wants to see ministry carried on. It is about that kind of heart that wants to see that kind of thing going on that says, look, I want to give. We've had people in our church giving just recently. Is Betty here? Betty Maisie, along with Tanya, have been doing some things in our church to make it look better. The bathrooms have been redone out here. A couple of guys have joined in and repainted the auditorium. We're going to be doing the foyer. But that's people giving of their time, giving of their heart, wanting to just see things done for the Lord Jesus Christ. When you do that, when you give in the offering, when you give of your heart, when you give of your life, I want you to know, Paul says, God says through Paul, that's a beautiful thing. That's a really nice thing. Paul says you did a beautiful thing. Most people don't think that about giving. You know, all you got to do is listen to what people are saying, and you find out most people think giving isn't that great of a thing. All you got to do is look at what people actually give, and you find out that many people just don't believe giving is a really good thing. You know, in the Old Testament, they gave 10% of their income back to God. In the New Testament, it tells us to give according to our heart, our heart's desire. But if you look at the average Christian today, statistics tell us that we give about 2 to 3% of our income back to God. God loved us so much, he sent his son, his one and only son, to die on a cross so that through him we can have eternal life. And we look at our own wallets and we look at what we have and we say, you know what? I don't want to give God anything. I'll nickel and dime God. I'll kind of be a tipper. I'll kind of, you know, as I feel, I'll kind of tip. Paul says, look, it's a beautiful thing. This church would not be where we're at. This church would not have done the things we've been able to do if people not only gave, but at times in our lives, people gave very sacrificially to help this church reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ and help Christians to grow. Giving, according to God's word, is a beautiful thing. And you know what? It pays dividends for all eternity. We had Nate and Jen Clear staying with us this weekend. They were in at the college for a few days. And Nate came over to me and he said, what's the best retirement plan? You know, what's the best way to figure all that out? And maybe you're looking at your retirement plan and you're seeing, well, this past year it's grown like crazy, but the year before it just kind of went down and down and down. And, you know, maybe you're beginning to think, where do I put my money so I can make some money? I want you to know the best place to put our money is giving towards God's word, giving towards God's ministry. Giving so that it pays an eternal dividend. Giving so that it changes lives. Giving so people's hearts are touched for all eternity. He says here, it was good that you shared in my troubles. The word trouble is a word that is used of squeezing grapes to get out the juice, of squeezing olives to get out the olive extract, the olive oil. Paul said he was going through outward pressures and problems and difficulties, and this church gave to help him while he was going through that time. Now, I want you to know something a little bit about this church, the Philippian church. The people in this church were some of the poorest people of the day. We don't have time this morning, but if you write down in your notes 2 Corinthians chapter 8, you will find when you read that passage, the Macedonian churches, of which this church was one of them, I mean, they were the poorest of the poor. And yet Paul says, when we had our need, you gave sacrificially. In fact, he said, you gave beyond what we could even imagine. You know, one of the excuses we often give for not giving to God is we say, I don't have any money, or I'm too poor. I don't have anything to give. You know, I'm in a place in my life where, man, people need to give them to me. I want you to know, no matter how poor you are, there's always someone out there who has it worse. And if you will learn to give God that first penny, that first dollar, and if you will become faithful to God in giving what you have, God will begin to bless your life. This Macedonian church, the Philippians, are an example of that. They gave and God blessed their lives. In fact, look back with me at chapter 4, verse 14. Why don't you notice? He says, it was good for you to share in my troubles. Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, meaning when they first got saved, they were young Christians, young believers, when I sent out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving except you only. This was the only church who really reached down in their pocket and said, Paul, we're going to help you in the ministry. Verse 16. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid again and again when I was in need. The word share in verse 15 is a word that means enter into partnership. These people, the only church to do it at the time, they were young Christians. They had just received Christ as their Savior. They saw the need that Paul had, and they gave. And in giving, they were sharing in Paul's ministry. You know, we have some missionaries. We usually have them on the side wall, but because the walls were just painted, we didn't get them back up yet. But we are sharing in their ministry when we give to their ministry. We have missionaries in Africa. We have missionaries in South America. We have missionaries in Canada that are reaching the Chinese. As we give here, and as they go out and they reach people for Jesus Christ, we are having a part in that ministry. And I want you to know this morning, when you give to this church, everything that this church does as a whole, you are sharing in that. And you will be rewarded for that. And you will see eternal dividends in the lives of other people because of what you have given. And that is what Paul is saying here. He said, you shared in my ministry, but you know what? You gave again and again. The Bible tells us in the book of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 16, that on the first day of each week, the believers gathered together for worship, and as part of their gathering, they would give in the offering. So every time they met together, they would give, and they would continue to give, and they would continue to give, because there were needs for the ministry for that church there. Some people think, well, I'll give when I'm here, but when I'm on vacation, I won't give. Or I'll give when I'm here, but when I sleep in, I'm not going to give. Some people think, well, I'll give today, and you know, maybe when I feel like it, I'll give it again. This church is an example of where they gave the ministry again and again and again. And that's what God wants us to do. And when we give, and when we give faithfully, and when we give continuously, and when we give generously, I want you to know there's a second thing that God does besides simply saying that it is a beautiful thing, besides simply saying it is a good thing. I want you to know that God rewards that kind of giving. And that's the second thing I want us to notice this morning. Giving is rewarded. Look with me at verse 17. Not that I am looking for a gift, but I am looking for what may be credited to your account. I have received full payment and even more. I am amply supplied now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent. They are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice pleasing to God. Notice Paul is talking about giving. Giving in the offering, giving to the local church, giving to his ministry. And he says it is a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, and it is pleasing to God. Paul said he was looking to what he may credit to their account. He wasn't looking just to get rich. He wasn't looking for more money for himself. But he was looking somehow that as those people gave, God would credit their account as they gave. And it all leads to verse 19. He says, and my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. Because you gave again and again, because you were faithful and generous in your giving, he says, my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches. In other words, my God, the God who owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, my God who is the sovereign of the universe, who is the creator of this universe, my God who has everything. Because you gave to see ministry continue, my God's going to meet your needs. You know, some ministries, some churches, they kind of get this all messed up. They kind of try to get the money out of your pocket just so they can get rich. And they take God's word out of context and say things it doesn't really say. But I want you to notice what it does say here. Paul is talking to people who gave and who faithfully gave to carry on ministry, whose hearts were first in God's priority, whose hearts were first given to God. He says to those people, I want you to know that my God's going to meet all your needs. The Bible does tell us in Luke 6:38, given will be given to you, good measure pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. The Bible does say in 2 Corinthians 8, but just as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, and in complete earnestness, and in your love for us, see that you also excel in the grace of giving. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6 that if we seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, then he will meet our needs, that he will supply our need. This verse should not be taken out of context, should not be just kind of thrown out there with nothing all around it. The Bible does make clear, and what Paul is repeating here to these people who had helped his ministry, that if we, in our heart, in our life, if we put Jesus Christ first, if he is our first priority, if he is first in our life, and I want you to know, that shows in many different ways, but it certainly shows in our giving. Bible says where our treasure is, there also will our heart be. So if I don't have a heart for giving, if I don't have a desire to give to God's ministry, to God's word, then it shows that my heart does not have a God as its priority. But when it is true, God's promise is that he will meet every need that we have. Let me say, and let me just say it again. We are going through very difficult financial times in our country. Some of you have lost jobs. Some of you are struggling with a job you have and you have lost income. I want you to know that your finances are not met by what President Obama does or does not do. Your finances are not met by what our Congress or our Senate does or does not do. Although, let me say, they can sure mess it up, can't they? But they can also help at times. But I want you to know your life is not based, your life does not consist in what our government does. Paul said, I can do all things through Jesus Christ who gives me the strength. I want you to know that there's someone far greater than our government, someone far more powerful than our government that promises you that when Jesus Christ is first in your life, that he will meet every need that you have. And I want you to know, I've been a Christian for a long time. I gave my heart to Jesus Christ back in the middle 70s. And there have been times where we've had very little, and there have been times where God has blessed us, I believe, greatly. But during all those times, we've always given to God's work. We've always given when we've seen a need, maybe not as much as others, but we've given what we could. And God has blessed that need, and God has blessed that giving, and God has always, always supplied and met my needs. I want you to know what Paul is saying here is absolutely true. I want you to know I can say the same thing that Paul has said, that my God will meet all your needs according to his riches when you are faithful in putting Jesus Christ first in your life. God will do that. But if Christ is not first in your life, I want you to know, you're kind of out there on your own. God makes no promises. All the bets are off. It is only as Christ is first in your life. Let me say one more thing about giving this morning. We see here that giving is good. We see here that giving is rewarded. Let me give you one more thought. Number three, giving is unifying. Giving is unifying. We come to verse 20, and Paul, as he's thinking about this issue of giving, he wants us to know, look, the glory doesn't belong to him. He doesn't get the glory. They don't get the glory in giving. They don't kind of want everyone to look at them. Paul says the glory needs to go to God. It's really sad when I stand up sometimes and I see pastors say, look at all the things I've done. You know, he'll write his resume, and in his resume, he'll say, well, I brought this church from 10 to 10,000. I brought the income of this church from $5 to $5 million. You know, and he's saying, look at all I've done. Paul says to God, to our God and Father, be glory forever and ever. Amen. Verse 21, greet all the saints in Christ Jesus. The brothers who are with me send greetings. All the saints send you greetings, especially those who belong to Caesar's household. Paul had the opportunity to reach some who were actually in the household of Caesar, and they have come to Jesus Christ. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you, be with your spirit. Amen. Corinthian believers had not been in Rome. Probably some of the people that Paul is saying are sending their greetings, they had probably not ever had, you know, had met them. But because they gave to Paul's ministry, and because that gave Paul the opportunity to go there and share the gospel with them, Paul can now write back from that group to this group and say, look, these people send you greetings. These people are saying, hello. Thank you so much. We love you. We care about you. We want you to know that we want to thank you for your giving. Giving is unifying. When we give here and we give toward ministries elsewhere, when we give here and someone gets saved, we hear it all the time in our church. In fact, I heard it just this past week. Someone in our church said, hey, you know, I thank you so, I'm just so thankful that this other person brought me to this church, invited me to come to this church. When you give, it has an effect on other people. You're not just giving money. You're changing lives. By your giving, the ability to share the gospel, the ability to tell others about Jesus, the ability to do all the things that a church needs to do has an effect on lives. When you give, don't look at the money. Look at the heart and the life that has changed because you've given. And that's what Paul's saying. That through our giving, through our interest in ministry, through our desire to see the gospel go out, Christians are being unified, Christians are being touched all over the world, and even though many of them will never meet each other until they get to heaven, their lives have been affected because someone else gave. Giving is good. When you give, you will be rewarded. And I want you to know when you give, it has an effect on people all around the world. And therefore, it's unifying. Let's pray. With every head bowed and every eye closed, you've heard me talk about Jesus, about him being the Savior. You've heard me say there's only one way to God, and that's through what Jesus Christ did on the cross. When he died, when he was buried, and he rose again for our sin. It would be wrong of me not to give you the opportunity before you leave here this morning to turn to Jesus Christ for salvation. Right there where you sit, between you and God, you can put your faith and your trust in the gospel of Jesus Christ, and God can become your Savior. Just tell God. Tell him where you're at. Tell him of your need for a Savior. Turn from your sin and call upon Christ, thanking him that when he died for your sin. And I don't want to give you words, but the words are pretty simple. Dear God, save me. Change my heart. Change my life. Bring me into your family. From this point on, I'm going to live for you. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I want to give you an opportunity to think about your heart as it relates to the issue of giving. I wonder this morning when you came in, did you kind of have a bad attitude about giving? God says it's good, it's beautiful. Father God, we thank you that through Jesus Christ we can have a relationship with you. And I thank you, Lord, that through the giving of others, that there are some here this morning who are part of your family because people cared enough about your work to give so that it may be funded so that others could go. And I pray, Lord, our church here might have its needs met because people here care enough to give. Help us, Lord, to have a heart and an attitude that looks on giving as a good thing, beautiful thing. And I pray, Lord, this morning that everyone here who gives faithfully, I pray, Lord, that you might meet their need and that they might be rewarded for their giving. Credit their account, Father, as Paul said. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.